Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When Marie Antoinette, the Queen of France, was told that the French peasants were starving, the people have no bread, she replied with her infamous quip, "Then let them eat cake." What a horrible, unreasonable response. How out of touch with reality could she be? Off with her head. Yet Jesus' words to the disciples today sound no less preposterous. They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. But how could the 12 apostles feed a crowd of 5,000 men besides women and children? Where could they find enough bread to feed such a crowd, even if there were bakeries open, even if they had enough money to buy for all those, which they did not? Isn't it just like the boss to delegate the dream to the team and make them figure out how to carry it out? "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish, the disciples replied. The disciples would have none of Jesus' nonsense. They were practical people. They were fishermen, tax collectors. They knew how to count. They saw 5 fish, 5 loaves, 2 fish, 12 apostles, and thousands of hungry stomachs. The math did not add up. Try to imagine the logistics of feeding 5,000 or 6,000 people at one time. 5,000 or 6,000 people is about the size of an aircraft carrier crew. And according to an article in Stars and Stripes, on a carrier, there are 114 sailors who work nearly around the clock in the galleys in order to feed those thousands of people 3 meals a day. About 17,300 meals total. And in a day, in one day, the ship's crews can go through 1,600 pounds of chicken, 160 gallons of milk, 30 cases of cereal, and 350 pounds of lettuce. 350 pounds of lettuce? That is a lot of rabbit food. But the disciples only had to serve 1 meal. So divide it by 3, and you get 533 pounds of chicken, 53 gallons of milk, 6 cases of cereal, and 117 pounds of lettuce to feed a crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children. I'd imagine that those people would probably want some gravy with the chicken and maybe some tomatoes and salad dressing on the salad. And all of that adds up to a huge amount of food, an exorbitant cost, and a wearisome task. Plus, the Navy has time to prepare for these things, but Jesus' command came at the spur of the moment. Put simply, feeding 5,000 people would be a logistical nightmare. I know that many preachers rightly make much of Jesus' call to take up our cross and follow him, but now I wonder if the real moment of testing, when the temptation to quit the ministry was the greatest for the apostles, was when Jesus put the 12 on kitchen duty. You give them something to eat. We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. The disciples had a little, but Jesus demanded a lot. What could be done? He told them to bring the bread and the fish to him, and they did. He told the crowd to sit down on the grass, and they did. Imagine the faces of the disciples as they exchanged worried glances with one another and rolled their eyes at the master's insanity, wondering how he was going to pull this one off. But Jesus took the bread and the fish. He said a blessing. He broke the bread and gave it to the disciples. And these 4 verbs are significant. Take, bless, break, give. These 4 verbs are together over and over, again and again in the Gospels, such as when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper or visited the Emmaus disciples for dinner after their journey on the road. Take, bless, break, and give over and over again. So the disciples give the bread and fish to Jesus. He takes the food. He blesses it. He breaks it. He gives it back to them. And they take what Jesus has given them, which they first gave to him, and give it to the crowds. And all ate and were satisfied. Everyone had their fill, and they picked up 12 baskets full of the leftover pieces. Even after feeding 5,000 plus people, the disciples ended up with more bread than they began with. Jesus provided. He took what little they had. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it back to them in abundance, more than they could ever have dreamed or imagined. Because in the hands of Jesus, you get a lot from a little. The disciples suffered from a scarcity mentality. But Jesus came to give abundant life, life to the full. And instead of showing the practicality of cynical disciples who just wanted to shoo the people away and make them go home, Jesus had compassion on them. He healed them. He taught them. He fed them. Yes, bread for the stomach, but also the bread of life for the soul. And they all ate and were satisfied. How did it work? What was the mechanism of the miracle? When Jesus broke the bread, did the pieces balloon to enormous size? Did they grow back every time they broke off a piece, like a lizard's tail, except instantaneously and less disgusting? Or did their baskets simply never run out? Maybe when they turned away, Jesus kind of snuck up behind them and dropped a little more bread in there as a restock and resupply. How did he do it? Well, Matthew already told us. He takes, he blesses, he breaks, and he gives. Because Jesus can do a lot with a little. So what does this mean for us Christians in the 21st century? What does it mean for Kristen Schmidt in particular on this day of her commissioning and installation into the ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Well, maybe in Douglas County, Colorado, one of the richest counties in one of the wealthiest nations in the history of the world, we don't know much about scarcity. We figure that most of our neighbors don't suffer from hunger, not even during the pandemic. And the worst kind of shortage that we know was the frustration of finding toilet paper a few months ago. But that doesn't mean that everyone in Castle Rock is well-to-do or well-off. And local food banks have faced enormous demand as families deal with unemployment and uncertainty. How could they feed the need of this community? Well, through the donations of people in the church, people like you and me. A can of chili here, a box of macaroni there. And it all adds up. If we're not afraid to give, God can do a lot with a little. But what about you? Do you ever look at yourself, look at your life and wonder, how could you ever possibly serve God with all your faults and your failings? Who am I? What can I offer? I'm just an old man. I'm just a little girl. I'm just an uneducated nobody. I'm just a poor, miserable sinner. What worthy service could I possibly offer to God? Well, these questions remind me of the protests of the prophets and the apostles through the ages. Moses stuttered. He said, I can't speak well. Jeremiah felt too young. Isaiah was a man of unclean lips among a people of unclean lips. Gideon and Joshua were both afraid. Esther could have died, and Mary wondered, how will this be since I am a virgin? And Peter said simply in the bow of that boat after a miraculous catch of fish, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. And to each of them, Jesus said essentially the same thing. Don't be afraid. I am with you. I forgive your sins, and I will tell you what to say and where to go. No matter how small, no matter how ill-prepared or unqualified the Lord's servants feel, he can still use them. He can get a lot from a little. And rather than calling the qualified, he qualifies the ones that he calls. He equips them. He readies them for the task. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. You don't ever have to be the smartest, the fastest, the strongest, the richest, the wisest, or the best looking person to serve the Lord. Although as far as the looks category goes, you all lucked out when you chose me to be your pastor. No, you just have to be you. You just have to be you. And God will take whatever little you have, and he will bless it and break it and give it back to you to give to somebody else. No matter what you have to offer, whether it's 5 loaves and 2 fish, or whether it's an entire lifetime of ministry, the Lord will take whatever little you think you are, whatever little you think you have, and he will do a lot with it. On this day of Kristen's commissioning, I remember my own ordination more than 13 years ago. And of course, I was excited to celebrate the start of my ministry. My ministry? No, it's always the Lord's ministry. Always. But becoming a pastor is what I had worked for and studied for 8 years of my life in college and seminary. But I was also full of fear and self-doubt. Who was I to think that I could be a pastor? To think that I could serve in the Lord's church? Did I really have what it takes? What if I messed up? What if I said or did the wrong thing? I was only 25 years old on the day of my ordination, and most of my parishioners were well over the age of 60. They had much more life experience than I did. What could I possibly teach them? But over the past 13 years, the Lord has used a wretched sinner like me to love and lead people to Jesus. I've baptized babies and adults. I've heard people's confessions on their deathbed. I've preached the word in season and out of season and served the Lord's Supper thousands of times because God can do a lot with a little, even from someone like me. And Kristen, the Lord Jesus is going to do a lot with a little from you. You are a smart, talented, caring person. I've often told you that you know the Bible better than most people I know, including many parish pastors. The children love you. The old ladies love you. And like I told you last summer, if you can win over the old ladies, you got it made. Your friend Melissa was right when she told me that you are a creative Christian genius. The Lord has blessed you abundantly, preparing you for this new call in this journey in ministry and in life. But you know what? You got a big problem to overcome. You are a sinner. You are a sinner just like me and just like all the other people in this room, and you are in need of daily forgiveness. And even though you survived having an internship during a global pandemic, and even though you survived having me as your internship supervisor, new challenges and new temptations are sure to come. Even though the congregation loves you, people will still criticize you. And one of these days, you might even open your email to read a nasty gram that will ruin your day or your week. A smattering of criticism will always sting more than 1,000 compliments may heal. And at times, you may wonder if you were crazy for even thinking of going into service and ministry in the Lord's church in the first place. So let me reassure you now. Yes, you are crazy. You gotta be a little crazy in order to go into the ministry, don't you think? Well, no matter how small or insignificant the devil, the world, and the flesh may make you feel, always remember that God can do a lot from a little. Whether it's feeding 5,000 or feeding us with the bread of life. With plain water combined with God's word, he washed away your sins and gave you his Holy Spirit. With just a little bit of bread and a little bit of wine, he can form a feast of Jesus' body and blood that forgives our sins and guarantees resurrection. And with a poor Jewish carpenter nailed to a wooden cross, with iron nails. He saved you from your sin and saved the whole world of its sin as well. God can do a lot with a little, and he has done a lot with a little for you. He will do a lot with a little through you. The world needs to hear about Jesus and his love. They need to hear the bread of life. So you give them something to eat. In the name of Jesus, amen.